As the New Jersey gubernatorial election in November approaches, we're hearing from people across the Garden State. Part of our statewide collaboration on the race called Voting Block NJ. Recently, we asked five residents of Paulsboro in South Jersey to sit down and discuss the issues they care about most. Over a meal of ravioli and roast pork, they talked about politics, politicians, and the brand new port of Paulsboro. WHYY's Joe Hernandez takes it from here.
We're eating dinner at Nino Gervasi's restaurant in Paulsboro. We're here to talk politics and politicians. Len Curtis, a 35-year resident of Paulsboro, is not optimistic.
You know, they promise you the world, and nothing, and you get nothing. I mean,
That includes the two people we're also here to talk about, former Goldman Sachs executive Phil Murphy and Lieutenant Governor Kim Guadagno. They're the two candidates running to succeed Governor Chris Christie in this year's election.
They just don't seem to have an interest in the real problems in this state.
Do you think they understand you?
Not at all. No. Not
one of them. $9 million
That was Erica Scott. She's a teacher in Paulsboro and a lifelong resident. Here's her take on politics. People in power don't actually want to solve problems. They just want to appear like they are.
I see Band-Aids in Paulsboro. I see Band-Aids in the state of New Jersey. Nobody wants to get to the root of the sore. They just want to stick a Band-Aid on it for right now, and then they move on. Meanwhile, the sore never is being properly healed. That's what I see happen in this town, and I see it happen in our local government throughout the state.
Since Scott believes that politicians don't actually care about solving problems, she also doesn't put too much stock in electing new ones.
I just feel like I'm voting because I have the right to vote.
Correct.
Versus
that's a very good
and that's it.
Whether I'm
that's
voting it. Because I really have right. It's my duty
right.
To vote.
And then
that's
I get a right.
I'm going
right
in to vote because I really have faith in anybody. I just feel like that's the only reason why I go.
So you're only going because you feel like you should.
Right. I'm not feeling confident
like I'm going to make a difference.
That anybody's going to make a difference for the community.
The same goes for Len Curtis.
They used to say, well, then get out and vote if you don't like the person. I don't believe even going out and voting today works.
No, you
really
question
don't.
That.
It doesn't matter if you're Democrat, independent, Republican. It really doesn't matter. It just seems like this is a very corrupt state. It seems like everybody's in cahoots, and you, like I said, you get thrown in the crumbs. And you should be glad you're getting what you're getting.
In Paulsboro, you're not getting much. The median household income is about half New Jersey's average. One in three people lives in poverty. Neighborhood Watch President Barry Corradetti says the blue-collar town struggles to attract new industry.
But as far as business is concerned, you know, you hear talk from the community about revitalizing Delaware Street. But if they stop and think about it, how are businesses going to come in and open those abandoned storefronts? They won't do that because it would be a bad investment for them. They don't want to open up a store and invest their money there when it's in the middle of a neighborhood that's falling apart.
Right. That goes for workers, too. Paulsboro residents Cheryl Haas and Krista Cooper.
$8 an hour and 35. How are you going to pay rent or a mortgage or car payment and feed kids?
Because
let's be real.
Yeah. So unless that minimum wage goes up, it's the heck with finding a job. Because they're always going to commit themselves to $8 an hour because they can't live that way. So they're going to find an alternative.
Right.
And unfortunately, the alternatives are killing our kids and they're hurting our neighborhoods.
So one of the biggest bright spots for the town recently has been the opening of the Port of Paulsboro, a 200-acre shipping port on the Delaware River. Consensus, though, was that the final product didn't quite live up to the promises.
The port
really
was a big idea. The port was going to bring us some money. But you know what else they're doing with the port? Finding a back entrance into the town.
Right.
There's going to be a way to the port without coming through.
Right.
Well, and it hasn't been. It's a way.
So maybe the biggest economic development achievement in Paulsboro, and I don't know how
hasn't really
years.
Let. It wasn't a big bang.
It fell.
It fell through the roof.
They fixed up some storefronts and everything, making it more appealing. You really thought that you were about to see something happen because the port was opening. But when, like I said, you made a back entrance to the port, so they don't have to come through this little town. You can avoid it at all costs. And with everything that's going on in this town, that avoiding it is like a good idea. You know?
The main gripe you hear from residents is housing. They say lifelong residents are leaving Paulsboro because there aren't any jobs, and that landlords are buying up those properties and renting them out to people on public assistance. Barry Corradetti and his neighbors say those tenants don't take care of their homes and drag down the neighborhood.
People think that this is just centralized in the center part of town. But if you look over the railroad tracks, you look at the south part of town, it's like a cancer spreading. And what's happening is that, you know, like you said earlier, Lenny, that, you know, senior citizens, they're passing on, they leave the house to their children. Their children don't want to have anything to do with it. Right. So they put it up for sale. Now you have these investors coming in, buying the house, and one day you could live in a great neighborhood, and the next minute, the next day, depending on who you get as your neighbor, if it's a rental property and you get people, you know, Section 8, HUD, I don't want to discriminate against anybody, but these are the kind of people we're talking about that don't have pride in their homes. There's no home ownership.
Cheryl Haas adds there are other big problems, too.
The crime, the lack of jobs, watching this town die piece by piece.
No businesses.
Which brings us back to the reason why we're here, this year's governor's race. There was a lot of skepticism in the room, especially at the state level. So I asked the five neighbors how politicians across the state could better serve their constituents.
After a while, you get burnt out.
Correct.
And you start going through the motions.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because you've been there for a while, and I think we need to get some
fresh blood.
Fresh blood.
But I talked
earlier,
to you.
That's just real quick. Earlier, I said, here's the answer right here. These, Krista, did you ever think about running for office? Seriously. You
know, she may not run for office, but that doesn't mean Cooper won't have her voice heard.
And here recently is when I have paid closer attention to that part. And when Mayor Stevens was running, he was one that I did stop and I did ask some important questions with him. And when I asked the questions about housing and about these landlords and how we turn these properties around and everything, he gave me some answers before he won. And then he showed me some results after he won. So that was important to me.
A small ray of hope at the local level, but little confidence that it matters who's sitting in the governor's office in Trenton. From the New Jersey desk, Joe Hernandez, WHYY News.